Hello and welcome. You are listening to the Ecom Sales Tax Podcast. In this podcast, our number one goal is to ease your mind of all the stress that sales tax can bring to you as an e-commerce seller. Our episodes contain the questions that have been posed to us by business owners and other individuals doing business in various states in the U.S., and we will help clear up the confusing, contradicting information you might find online and give you a clear path forward. Hello and welcome to the Ecom Sales Tax Podcast. My name is Ryan Johnson. I've got Dan Peisner with me today. Dan, how's it going?
It's going well, Ryan.
It's good to have you here today. With October rolling in, we got Halloween. A lot of people celebrate Halloween. I love Halloween. I like the spookiness of it. My wife and I like to watch scary movies. Not too scary, just a little scary. But I thought it would be fun because I think the scariest thing in our profession is sales tax audits. And I thought, and since you deal with sales tax audits every day, I thought it would be fun to have you tell us kind of a horror story of a sales tax audit.
Oh, just one? I've got so many.
Well, hopefully we'll be able to hear a few of them over the next few weeks.
Well, let's see what I can do. So a horror story about an audit. I think when I think of audit horror stories, the category of clients that get hit the biggest, I think, are contractors, particularly if we're dealing with Texas contractors or contractors that are doing work in Texas. Texas has some very, very confusing contractor laws. It depends entirely on the contract that you're doing. If you are doing any kind of new construction, be it residential or commercial, then the taxability depends entirely on the contract. If you are doing a lump sum contract, which is a contract whereby there's no separation for labor and materials in the contract, then you do not charge tax to your customer, and instead you either pay sales tax or accrue use tax on all the materials that you use in the job, and your subcontractors will do the same. If you do separate labor and materials on your contract, then that's considered a time and materials contract. And then for residential, for any new construction job, you would charge tax to your customer on the materials only, but not the labor. Now, conversely, if you're dealing with repair or remodel, which is anything other than bare ground construction, essentially, then you have to charge. If it's a commercial job, if it's not residential, for repair remodel, then you charge tax on everything. You tax the entire bill, pretty much. Now, for residential, you treat repair remodel the same as new construction. It depends on the contract. So that's confusing to begin with. The horror story that I wanted to tell is what happens when you're really doing lump sum. So you would not charge tax to your customer. And instead, you've been charging tax to your customer and then have not paid tax on any of your materials. This ends up being a real horror story on audit because from your point of view, you've been paying tax. You can point to the line on the tax return where you pay it. You can point to the check that you write to the comptroller every month. But from the comptroller standpoint, the law says that that's a non-taxable transaction. You've been charging tax on it, which means that technically the state could be on the hook for refunding every penny that you've collected. And instead, they will go back and assess tax on all of your materials, every last brick of that material. And in turn, they will give you no credit for all that tax that you've been paying in to the state for all those years. So you end up getting hit with a double whammy. You've been collecting all this tax that you get no credit for, and you now have to come out of pocket for this tax you didn't budget for. And if you turn around to your customers, they paid you the contracted price already. They've already paid you the sales tax. And some of them, most of them are not aware that there's a refund there. So I wish I could say that this has only happened to one client, but I've had it happen to several now. Just by the complicated nature of sales tax, a lot of people get this one wrong.
Jeez. You know, when you started explaining the different laws, it sounded like a nightmare. And you say this happens to a lot of people?
Yeah. I mean, I can probably count on one hand the number of contractors I've talked to in the small and medium sized sphere that are doing that absolutely right. Most of them, I start talking to them and I'll find something that's going wrong. And it's no fault of theirs. You got to understand a lot of small and medium sized contractors. They've got some, maybe the controller's doing the sales tax. Maybe they picked it up. They may not have gotten a full training in it. They may have just picked up what the last person was doing, who picked it up from the person before them, and nobody stopped to understand the basics. They just get a rote understanding. So that can end up with a massive tax bill. And again, with very little recourse to go back to your customers to pay it.
Right.
And the only thing that makes this situation worse, and I've seen this situation before, is when you have that lump sum contract with your customer. Say you have a $50,000 contract with your customer, you charge them $50,000 and I need to pay some sales tax on this. I don't know how to make QuickBooks, because it's always QuickBooks. I don't want to make QuickBooks turn this money in. So I'm going to take that $50,000 and back into it so that I show a lesser amount and tax. And so I've got sales tax on my invoice. Now QuickBooks remits the tax. I'm remitting tax on the materials. I'm doing what I'm supposed to. Problem is, there again, the state now sees tax on an invoice. You've represented it as tax. So that's a refund that's technically due to the customer. You've charged them the full contract amount, so you can't go back. And so now you're getting hit double for the money, because you're going to get hit on all those materials you didn't pay sales tax on. And you've now taken money out that would have gone from your margin. You've already paid that into the state, but because you showed it as a sales tax on an invoice, you really get hit doubly.
So Dan, what can you do to help remedy the situation?
The best, absolutely best thing that you can do is catch it before an auditor ever shows up. Go back in, and every one of your customers, go back in, rework everything, and try to reach out to them, get them to understand, and reissue them invoices that don't show it as tax, and then work on the difference to make sure that it's a use tax that's being paid in. If you actually are in audit, then we have a couple of tricks that we've used before on audits, and they're not guaranteed, but we have been successful with them in order to get the state comptroller to recognize some of that tax. It requires a couple of very technical interpretations, and it does unfortunately require a lot of really goodwill with your customers to pull it off and having to really explain to them what you're doing. But it is something that we have employed that saved our clients certainly a lot of money in the past. We're happy to sit down and discuss it with anybody that finds themselves facing an audit situation like that.
Yeah. I mean, is this something that someone who doesn't have a whole lot of experience with contracting and their sales tax issues, could they go into their own records, and how easy is it for them to find any mistakes?
If you don't know the law, it's very difficult. If you know the law, you can find the mistakes. The trick is fixing them. And like I said, if the auditor has not come in yet, that's the best time to keep it from turning into a true Halloween story. That's the time to try to get things fixed, go back to your vendors or go back to your customers, get things restated. You're not doing any funny business. You're taking the contract, you're taking what was stated on the contract, and you're changing the invoice to reflect the actual terms of the contract. In those instances I mentioned, that was purely somebody did the wrong invoicing to make QuickBooks work. And like I said, I've run into that more than once. So if that's what you're doing, then just simply cleaning up, correcting the invoices to reflect the actual transaction is all that it is probably the best fix. Whereas if an auditor's come in, then you've got to go quite a bit more technical and pull a few procedural tricks out of your hat in order to make that work. That's very much something you need somebody with some expertise to do.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Dan. There's a lot of companies that go in and out of audit all the time, not just in Texas, but every state. And, you know, you've got a lot of experience with all sorts of audits all over the country. And if you are under audit and you think you need some help, maybe your audit hasn't even begun, maybe it's started, maybe it's at the end, I know that there's something that Dan can do for you. Maybe turn the Halloween Horror Story into some kind of Christmas miracle of some kind.
That's always the hope.
Yes. So if you are under audit and you're under pressure and you don't know what to do, please go ahead and schedule your free strategy call with us and be able to get to work with Dan. All right, Dan, thank you so much for being on with me today, and we'll see you next week.
My pleasure, Ryan.
You've reached the end of another episode of the Ecom Sales Tax Podcast. If you have any additional questions about today's episode or you just need some help, you can find my contact information down below. Connect with us at SalesTax4OnlineSellers.com, and don't forget to find us on Facebook. We post new content every week.